session number 1680-1, rule 3.
Mr. Proctor, rule 3.
What we was conscious of at that time was hunger. And when was the rations coming up? And the comments had been passed along the line regarding this incident, and the message came back that the brigadier was speaking to our colonel and informing him how pleased he was with the show. Rations would be along in due course. Well, the sun now, by this time, is on the wane, and as you know, over there it becomes night very, very soon, from daylight to night time. However, the Russians came along, and we was grateful for McConaughey's stew, custard and prunes, all in one mess tin. That's the way we are. It's the way soldiers are. And most grateful for a top-up of rum. We all got a snifter of rum. Well, I say a snifter, it was quite a good measure, I would say. Most enjoyable. Afterwards. We then bedded down for the night, placing guards, etc., at various points. And for those who could sleep, you just bedded down. There was no blankets, no pillows, etc. Hard ground and your steel helmet. Steel helmet was used as a pillow. Your lead, again, your rifle or whatever, and slept. I went round the men, as was my job. Catnapped. Went round again to ensure that they were awake. The night. Time for thinking. Reflection. Thinking about the dead. Thinking about our wounded. And hoping that the breakthrough has been achieved. Dawn broke quietly. There was no heavy guns. There was no noise, but what I did hear was A Company on our flank. Their piper. Flowers of the Forest. No, I love it. I love it. I love the Flowers of the Forest. And he was just on the wind. You could hear him playing. Lament for the Dead. This was taken up by two other pipers in the distance, I presume on the commanding officer's instructions. I'm just trying to think of the after Flowers of the Forest came jollification of tunes. The Campbells Are Coming, and one other, I can't remember, not for long, but it was just to bring us alive, to acknowledge the fact that we hadn't won a war, we'd won a battle. Later came what can I say? The word I'm looking for is reckoning. When we realised the number of casualties we'd suffered, or the regiment had suffered, I should say. D Company was fortunate. I lost a colleague at the transport. I lost one of my men on the ridge. And that was all the casualties in our group. But B Company was decimated by wounded and the dead. A Company had taken them all in. C Company, a couple, same as ourselves. So then, after that particular battle of Sidi Barani, came the cleaning up operation. Mundane tasks. checking men, checking supplies, looking at transport, Italian transport, that is, looking at their guns, piling them, but not for long. We moved off then, and for a while things were quiet. Now, we drew back. We withdrew after this. I mean, the regiment as a whole had taken a mangling. So it was not 100% fighting fit. Despite, I mean, we'll tell you that it could go on. We can all go on individually. We can all get killed individually. But as a fighting regiment, we was not in a fit state. And we pulled back to
Merza Metro?
No, not so far. No, no. Saloon! Our job there, again, was mundane jobs. Unloading petrol from lighters from the ships. And recuperating, if you like. The Italian Air Force decided to strike at us again. And amusing story I will add here. It was an amusing one. When bombs were dropping, one of our chaps had gone to the loo. I say loo. It was a duck board out to sea with a canvas sacking around it. When the bombing started, of course, he was sitting in there. And this is just a recollection. There was caves there, incidentally, and we was by the caves looking out at the bombs strapping the bay. This chappy comes running down this duckboard, screaming his head off. He'd been hit. He'd been hit, you know. So we ran out to him, several of us ran to him, and grabbed him, threw him on the floor. Oh, he'd been hit all right. A lump of shit. Right at the back of the neck. All down his shirt. Well, okay, it's laughter. Everybody laughs. It's enjoyable at someone else's expense. It breaks the tension a bit. Now, the next thing we were visited by was Bardia Bill. You probably recollect that mentioned at some time or another, have you?
A gun.
Exactly. Exactly. And that gun used to fire on the hour. Every hour. So what used to happen, this was a quarter moon-shaped bay. Transport would remain at a point at the other side of the bay, i.e. troops moving and whatever, disassemble, paraphernalia of war moving forward, taking up positions, waited until that gun had fired. And then it was a mad scramble round the bay, if you understand me, to get transport round up to Elfire Pass for the purpose of getting forward and etc. Now, we as a regiment did not no longer play an active part of war. Our job became, for want of a better word, pedestrianised, if you like, to the effect that we became supply men. Sorting supplies into dump for troops coming through us. And then, of course, we withdrew back to Egypt. We spent 3 weeks there, recuperating, reorganization, added strength. Then came the order for Crete. Well, despite what people say, and despite what these people write, of the glorious safety of various regiments. It was a bloody shambles from the docks onwards. The ship's captains, and I can understand that, wanted to get away, obviously, and get back. That was the only supplies was left on the docks, and for want of a better word at this time, until I could meet these men, I would have to say several men from our company was left. Ship sailed for Crete. I must confess, on soundings of men, the feeling was of foreboding. I don't know why, it just happened. We were shadowed for most of our journey at very height, German Focke Wulfs. Convoy consisted of a couple of destroyers and armed merchant ships. We proceeded to Crete without any further mishap.
Which month is this, about April?
It was May. Beginning of May.
It doesn't matter. If it's in the regimental history, we needn't worry about that anyway.
It was early May. Just let me recheck that little bit, because...
If it's in the regimental history...
It is here.
You're unlikely to remember the date anyway, after 50 years.
I don't, be honest, but I don't want to... I want to... are we still running?
Yep.
I want, if I can...
Don't worry about it, because the object of this is not to establish the dates. The dates are already in the history.
Yeah. One day sailing and part of one night. I think we went ashore. It could have been... or 200 hours or something of that nature. The island was silent, very eerie. Mainmen's milling around. The colonel was getting things organised. And then we set off to walk by... this is just sticking my memory. A boy of about 14 gave us some escort duties. He led us the way in. Because I remember saying to one of my colleagues, yeah, we've got bloody boys up here with us. But this is what happened. And at dawn the following day, we took up a position near... Musa, was it? Tamaria we'd come through. We was proceeding in the general direction of Heraklion. I suppose it was about a third of the way there. Then we come off the main road and rested in the vineyards and the, what do you call those things?
Olive groves.
Olive groves. Only to be visited by the Stukas. Bid us a visit. Three runs of the Stukas, but we lost no men, and the village was clouted about a bit, and various people was killed, I understand. But we was okay. Would you stop it there for a moment, please? Rumours was flying about of paratroopers, etc., already established on the island, and of the Cretans committing atrocities against the paratroopers, i.e., I believe this is correct when I say, having shot them, not always honourably, if you understand me, removing their private parts and stuffing them in the mouth, and leaving them in the village for everybody to see. We found out about this because the German dropped pamphlets. And I'm sure, if you've talked to men who served on Crete, must have A, handled one of those pamphlets, or B, still has one. To me, I couldn't be bothered. But it was to the effect that British troops would be shot on capture. Thank you very much. And
all British troops.
Well, it referred to British troops. I understand this order was countermanded a couple of days later. I believe they may have established that it wasn't British soldiers who committed these atrocities, but Cretans and the civilian population. Now, Captain Barwell got his instructions, and we all went forward. Flanking movement. Stream, right hand flank. We pushed on up through the groves, over walls, until we was met by gunfire. Now, being the leading section, I received an order from a sergeant to shut them down. They were on our extreme right-hand flank. A little nest of them. We engaged them. Things went silent. And then they came out of the Evans. Now, for the rest of the time of the day, yes, it was a killing fields, I'll say that. I'll have a moment of contradiction if anybody was there. I have reason for mentioning this. And I engaged them with a Ben gun, firing as they were landing, giving them a burst, firing them as they were coming down. I was subsequently running out of ammunition. I'd use my magazines. If I called for magazines and got no reply, suddenly I'm alone. And I would meet any court of inquiry on this. Now, you can stop there if you want.
That's right.
I thought, Christ, what do I do now?
Where is this place?
This place,
roughly.
Roughly, I can give it you roughly.
You've got a map in the regimental history you're referring to now.
Sorry, I am, yes, because A, I can't remember all the damn names.
Can you point to the map, roughly where you think it was?
We would be about this area.
Okay.
Somebody can probably put me right.
Well, this area you're pointing to is to the south of Heraklion.
Mm.
And it's to the northwest or west-northwest of Ios Thomas.
Mm. Could well be right.
And it's on the, seems to be on the slopes of a hill 1860.
Correct. Yeah.
In other words, it's to the west of the Heraklion road, the road going south from Heraklion towards Timbarkion eventually.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's roughly the area. Sorry.
Roughly the area.
You said you found that you were left alone.
Yeah. Things went quiet. And then there came three German aircraft, troop carriers. And they piled out. And by this time, I'd used the rest of my ammunition. I got a few more of them, and I thought, I'm going to move out now. I called out and got no reply in English, and I started to worm my way back between the groves there and coming towards me was two paratroopers doing the same as I was doing. We were flying face down, if you understand me, wriggling forward. Now, the only thing I had was a fanny. You know what that is, don't you?
A knife.
A knife with a knuckle duster on. I unclipped mine and slipped it onto my hand. And I'm still going forward. I do vividly remember looking at their faces. I'm sure they were looking at mine. And they looked very young. I'm sure I looked young to them. But one of them leaped. And I took him on the fanny. Suddenly, I was hit on the back of the head. And I was, I passed out, obviously. When I came round, and I rolled onto my back, all I could see was feet surrounding me. And I let my eye run up their bodies and realised that they were German troops, paratroopers. One of them spoke to me and said, "Ho, ho!" They took me forward to a German officer who was propped up by the wall, and he was bleeding rather badly, which was probably one I'd hit as he was on his way down. I don't know. It could have only been me. Spoke very good English. Explained to me that the war was over, for me, and I replied to him in English, "It would appear over for you as well," for which he made no comment, but he was being attended to by one of those German medics, staunching the blow of the flow of blood, etc.
This was the one you stabbed?
No, this was the officer in charge. The one I stabbed was, like myself, a Gefreiter or something of that nature. Trying to get a clear picture for the book. He asked me to remove my equipment, which I did. First thing he opened was my respirator. Pulled it out. And he saw a few photographs in there, which he pulled out and looked at, and looked at me, mutter, and so forth. I said, yeah, Swiss. He gave them back and put them in. He said, "Keep that." He then spoke to the paratroopers, and he told them to take me out of the line. Hence, I was a prisoner of war. And two of them did. They then handed me over to some troops in the background. Now, we'd been walking for about a bloody hour. So we must have either been walking further westwards. And this would correspond with the fact that the western part of the island was already in their hands. The troops that were dropping in our area was the ones, I presume, who would take Irakulum in due course of time. Anyway, I was handed over, And these Germans seemed amused. Einst, only one. The officer that was wounded, whom spoke to me before, he got the figure of their dead. It was about 15. About 4 wounded. And 1 prisoner. He wasn't a happy man. He says, "Where's your comrades? Pull back. Take up defensive positions. Over the wall," which is where these 2 other German paratroopers put me, and left me with 1 German in charge there. And it was at this point, within about 10 minutes, that Tom Jagger arrived. He was the same as me. He'd been stripped of his equipment. He just had his trousers on, boots, putties, and shirt. And I was bloody angry. If I was to say to you I couldn't recollect for some time the anger I felt at what had happened to me. Disgrace, if you like.
Because of the disappearance of the others?
Well, yes and no. Disgrace, I was a bloody prisoner. And Tom sat by me. And then they moved us into a building. A rubble of a building it was. The top had been blown off. It was just 2 walls, if you wish. About a couple of 100 yards from where they was. And it was at this point that this was the incident relating to that. Against the wall, 4 men marched out. Click, click, click. Yeah, this nonsense. An officer walked towards us. And I can't say, A, whether he was going to give us a cigarette or bind our eyes. I waved him away, which he saluted. And Tom and I then shook hands. And I think we must have mumbled, "Well, we're going to get it anyway, so it's the end of our life." Suddenly, there's a ruckus in the rear. Another German officer came forward, demonstrated with the officer there at the time, and I saw this 4 German soldiers who was going to shoot us smile, and they lowered their arms. They all went away for a moment or two, and I think I may have said something like that. Tom, thank Christ for that. Or what's going to happen now? Well, I think about an hour later, they came forward again and said, "You,